All right, each Sunday morning we've been having one of our men give a testimony, and today Elijah is going to come and give his testimony.
I was born and raised in a Christian family, in a Christian home with a Christian family. My parents were saved. We always went to church every week. And for a while, when I was younger, I wasn't sure if I was saved. I always questioned it. And I can remember, repeatedly praying just the prayer, thinking maybe one of these times I'll get saved and maybe it'll work. And then one time we were at church and an evangelist preached and God convicted my heart and I got saved when I was 9 years old. I'd just like to say, make sure you have your kids in church, just work it. And don't miss that opportunity to set a godly foundation on for them.
Amen. Let's all stand. Turn to number 97. Number 97, I need thee every hour. It's sweet to trust in Jesus. It's wonderful that he is still that same God. And you know, we're still the same old rotten flesh. And we need that same God every hour. I need thee not just 1 hour out of the day. Not just that 5 minutes that I spend praying in the morning. Hopefully it's more than 5 minutes, but no, we need him every hour of every day. I just don't think we realize that sometimes for ourselves, right? We get going along our day and we're like, I got this, God. No, we don't got this, but he does. We just need to trust him and recognize that we do need him. Let's sing it out, number 97.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be so afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
Out, and we'll just sing a cappella on that chorus. On the fourth now.
I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
You may be seated.
Be opening to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And before I preach, I want to just make mention out on the table in the back foyer there. There's all kinds of different little booklets, pamphlets, a variety of things there. You are welcome to take any of those. I was going through and just going through some things in the office. Some of that stuff has been there since before I was even here. And I'm looking at it saying it's not doing any good just sitting in a stack of multiple things. So I have made sure I've kept one of each of them, but there's multiple of them. Take whatever you want, read it, pass it along to somebody else if you want to after you read it, keep it, do whatever you want with it at that point in time. But it's just helpful different materials that can be a blessing to you. Isaiah 55, we're looking at our relationship with God or knowing God, and it is important that we understand that God is not a religion. God is, He has personality. We looked at the attributes that He has last week. God wants to know us, and God wants us to know Him. When God created man, He came down to the Garden of Eden, and He went there daily to walk with Adam and to talk with Adam and to converse with him. And we saw that sin separates from God. Today I want to look at this point, agreeing with God's viewpoints. To have a relationship with God, where we are communing with Him, where we have a strong relationship, we have to come into agreement with His viewpoints. In any relationship, the question that comes from Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, which says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" That question comes into play. Two people get married. The strength of their relationship is going to be built on things that they agree on. And the destruction of a relationship often comes from not being able to get over the things that you disagree on. As people, we don't have to agree on everything. We can be friends with a person, not agree on everything. Sometimes as people, we can just agree to disagree. And you know what? You know what? We aren't going to see eye to eye on this, but you know what? We see eye to eye on this and this and this. That's with people. To have a healthy relationship, we need from time to time to be able to say, you know what? You were right and I was wrong. I had a wrong view on that. Thank you. You helped correct my thinking on that. To do that takes some humility, doesn't it? God is never wrong. God never has to come to us and say, "I'm sorry, you corrected my viewpoint and I'm coming into agreement with you." God is always right. I almost titled this agreeing with God's righteous viewpoints, but the word righteous would just be redundant. So it's just agreeing with God's viewpoints. Let's read Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. It says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's right. God's right every time. And if we are going to have a relationship with God, we have to come into agreement with the viewpoints that God has, because God is not going to change His viewpoints, because His viewpoints are perfect. People, we from time to time have to change our viewpoints to come back to agreement with one another. That's not the way it is with God. So today we're emphasizing in having this relationship with God, it is essential that we agree with God's viewpoints. Let's pray. We'll look at the message today. Father, I ask that you would help us, God, to know that you are almighty, that you are holy, that every viewpoint that you have, everything that is laid out in your word is 100% correct. It is 100% accurate. God, we thank you, Father, for paying for our sin by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that we could be reconciled to you, so that we could begin to know you. But God, as our relationship with you develops, and that desire for us to know you and to know your power, and God, to have that working relationship with you where we communicate with you and you communicate with us. God, help us to understand this morning that it is essential that we agree with you. That if we disagree with you, it puts a rift between us. And God, we need to confess that as the fact that we are wrong. And we need to come back into agreement with you so that we can have that sweet fellowship once again. Father, we do need you every hour. God, help us to walk with you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin today by this point, agreeing with God's view of sin. Agreeing with God's viewpoint on sin. Psalm 7:11 says this: God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. When we look and understand that God is angry with the wicked every day, and we want to have a relationship with Him, that wickedness separates us from God, sin separates us from God. When we enter into sin, God is angry with us. God, yes, He loves us. He, just like a parent still loves their child, even when the child does something wrong. God will chasten us to bring us back into His viewpoint, but understanding that God has a view of sin, and we cannot look out and say, I have a different view on that than God does, but I have a strong relationship with God. It does not work that way. Let's look through the Bible and see some things that God describes, some things that God hates. Proverbs chapter 6. In verse 19 and 20, there are people with the viewpoint that God is only love, that God doesn't hate anything, that God doesn't mind if we sin, that God paid for that so that we could continue in it. That is an incorrect viewpoint, and sin should not be in our life, and sin does separate us from God. Now, I'm thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you're saved by Jesus Christ. You're kept in by His power, not by your own. But as far as our fellowship, our relationship, and our communion with God, we have to agree with God concerning sin. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 says this: these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. Now, if God hates these things and we're going to walk with God, do not we have to also hate these things? Does that make sense? So we look at this and it says, a proud look. We know that God hates pride. We know that God looks at pride, and when people are proud, God, it says He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. We know that God despises when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. When we get in the attitude that God needs me, or I'm God's gift to this world, or I can survive my life without needing God, God says, I can't stand that. I hate that. And so we should as well. The Bible says a lying tongue. God hates it. Is there any such thing as a little white lie? No. God hates a lying tongue. And so when our tongue gets ready to tell a lie, we should stop and remember, wait a minute. God hates that. I should not be participating in that. God loves truth. God is truth. And God hates every lie that is ever told. And so we need to remember that. Hands that shed innocent blood. Once again, I mentioned in Sunday school, I was glad for the release this week of people who were simply standing outside abortion clinics and making known, this is not the right thing. It's not right to kill babies. They weren't harassing anybody. They weren't causing problems. They're just out there, their presence being known. And the FBI, instead of working and going after hackers and people that are destroying people's lives in America, they go after those people because they didn't like the fact that they were standing there proclaiming truth. The Bible says God hates hands that shed innocent blood. There's nothing more innocent than the blood of an unborn baby. Any murderer, somebody that did not deserve to die, you killed them. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. And there's going to be a hot day in hell for those people that have killed all those babies. God hates it. And so if we're going to have a relationship with God, we can't say, oh, I'm a born-again Christian. I have a great relationship with God, and I think it's okay to kill babies. That doesn't work. If you think that it's okay to kill innocents, then you do not have a relationship, a walk with God. It is impossible because you're not in agreement with Him. The Bible says, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Yet the heart, just thinking of all kinds of things wicked. I'll tell you, you look at the amount of wickedness that is pumped across the television, the internet, on a regular basis, and all of that wickedness was imagined by somebody, and then it was put out for people to view and glean from. God hates it. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. People that are just looking for trouble. God says, we shouldn't be out there just looking for trouble. God tells us as born-again believers to live as much as lieth within us, be peaceable with all men, to live at peace with all men. We should not be the ones out there causing trouble for other people, a false witness that speaketh lies. So he hates the lying tongue, but he also hates when someone makes up something about another person and lies about that person. And that is breaking one of the Ten Commandments, to bear false witness against your neighbor. And it says, he that soweth discord among brethren. People that are divisive and their whole goal is to get in between two people that are unity and are at unity and split them apart. So God hates some things. The Bible goes on to say, and I'm just going to read some of these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 31 says this, thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters have they burnt in the fire to their gods. God hates idolatry, and God hates all of the things that idolatry brings about. There is such wickedness done under the form and of idolatry in this world and in the idolatrous temples in this world that God sits back and says, I absolutely hate those things that are going on. Deuteronomy 16:22 says, neither shalt thou set up any image which the Lord thy God hateth. God hates it when we pray to, or bow down to, or trust in any image. Whether it is a crucifix, whether it is a statue of Mary, whether it is some other religious symbol, if we are trusting or depending in any way upon that, God, I hate that. Psalm 11 and verse 5 says, the Lord trieth the righteous but the wicked, and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Now, we're in a violent society. And the Bible says when God destroyed the earth with a flood, that the whole earth was filled with what? Violence. Violence. So we need to be careful about our view of violence. Our view of violence and God's view of violence should be the same view. Malachi 2:16 says, for the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously. God makes the clear statement, I hate when a man and a woman divorce. That's God's viewpoint. I hate it. It's wrong. God designed marriage to be one man and one woman for one lifetime. And God says, I hate putting away. Amos 5 and verse 15 says, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. So here the call goes out. And he says, look, tribe of Joseph, I want to be gracious unto you. I want to help you. But he says, in order for us to be on the same page, in order for us to walk together and to be in agreement together, he says, you must hate the evil and love the good. It is clear that God has a viewpoint on sin. And we live in a society and we are in danger because of exposure. In this society, we are in danger of not thinking the same way that God thinks about profanity. We are in danger of not thinking the same way that God thinks about sodomy. we are in danger of not thinking the same way that God thinks about alcohol and drugs. We are in danger of not thinking the same way that God thinks about immorality, about divorce, about all kinds of things. And we need to understand, look, as we know God, as we have a relationship with God, as we come to know who He is and we commune with Him, our viewpoints need to line up with His viewpoints. And if we step aside and say, well, God, I just don't agree with You on this, or I just don't agree with Your word on this, we are stepping out of fellowship with God. Our relationship, though we may be born again, we may be a child of God, our relationship is damaged. It is severed. It is broken. No, we haven't lost our salvation. God still loves us. Jesus still died for our sins. We still have a home in eternity. But our fellowship will not be what it should be. And many people live their entire lives never developing a relationship with God, never developing fellowship with God. They got saved. Sometimes they go through and they do certain activities and that you would look at them and say, well, they're a pretty good person. But do you walk with God? Do you fellowship with Him? Does God agree with the way that you live? Do you agree with God concerning the things that you do and how you live? I want to deal with two viewpoints that I've heard over the past couple years that have been made statements made by pastors. One was just within the last couple weeks I learned about. The other one goes back some time. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to understand today that God hates sin, that God is not the author of sin, that God wants us to repent of sin, and God does not accept that we just go on, and the Bible makes this statement, shall we, or this question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We know the answer. It is a clear and resounding, God forbid. And so how is it that people that claim to know God, that claim to have a relationship with God, just continue in sin? How is it that some of us from time to time, we've gone down a path and we've continued in sin, and many finally have come to a point where it's like, no, God doesn't agree with this. God is not pleased with this. I need to come into agreement with God on this matter. So this is one statement that was made. It comes from 2 Timothy 2, 25 and 26. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. A pastor got up because his son was doing so wickedly, and he did not want to take any personal blame for that in his rearing of that child and so on. And ultimately, he took this verse and he said this. It says, well, if God peradventure will give them repentance. And he made this statement, my son cannot repent unless God gives him the gift of repentance. Now, that's heresy. Let me read you some verses from the Bible. Ezekiel 18:30 says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Is that a command, or does that sound like you sit there and wait and I'll see about giving you the gift of repentance? How about this verse? Mark 1:15, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Well, I'd like to get saved, but I can't get saved because God hasn't given me the gift of repentance. Is that what the Bible teaches? No, the Bible commands them. He says, look, it's your responsibility to repent. How about this verse? Acts 17:30, "And the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to," what? "Repent." See, this is not a matter of us sitting around, "Well, I'm stuck in this sin. Maybe someday God will give me the gift of repentance." What does that ultimately do? It says it's God's fault that I'm still in this sin. God is not the author of sin. It is not God's fault when we're in sin. If we have a relationship with God and fellowship with God, then we need to agree with God's viewpoint on sin. And God's viewpoint on sin is you need to repent now. And it is an imperative and it is commanded. The second one, I just heard this last week. The statement was made with the context of a pastor who had sinned. And he was giving a testimony, and basically he said, "God does not have a plan B for your life. God only has a plan A." The context was, God took me because of my sin. God moved me from this ministry over to this ministry, and I'm going to be doing something different now. And this was God's plan A to get me over to here. My sin over here was God's plan A to get me over to here. No, I'm sorry. That's not plan A. God's word, God does not say, "Oh, I need to get you to sin in order to get you to leave here and go over here so that I can do what I want to do with you over here." It is never God's plan. It is never God's will for us to sin. And God doesn't need us to sin to get us from here over to here. James 1, 13 through 15. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15 says this. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Is that God's plan? Never. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." The problem with both of these statements by two different men, they are both Calvinistic. They say this was God's plan that God created, that God organized. I couldn't help myself because it was God's plan for this to happen, to get this, and this to happen. Don't blame God for sin. It's not God's fault. It's our own lust. The Bible doesn't say every man is drawn away, they are drawn away by God's plan A for their life. God forbid. We need to acknowledge our sin. We need to repent of our sin, and we need to then do what's right. Can God pick us up? Sure. We'll deal with that in the next point. But in dealing with all of this, we need to agree with God's view on marriage. It is not God's will for a saved person to marry a lost person. It's wrong. It's out of agreement with God. It is God's will for one man to marry one woman. And it's for one lifetime. If a person does end up divorced, it is not God's will for them to get remarried. I'm not saying it's an unforgivable sin. I'm just saying it's not God's will for that to be the case. We need to agree with God's view on alcohol. You know, the Bible still says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I'm tired of people that claim to be Christian. Heard somebody this week, just a very short comment. Supposed Christian, somebody that would say they believe God, somebody that would say they have a relationship with God. And they said, oh, on our first, when we first got married, we bought all of these bottles of wine. And we even said, and every year on our anniversary, we bring out one of these bottles of wine. Don't tell me you have a relationship with God. You don't even believe the Bible. I'm not saying whether you're saved or not. I'm saying we need to know God. We need to fellowship with God. Our viewpoints and God's viewpoints need to be the same. We need to agree with God's view on His Word. Does God say His Word's perfect? Does God say it's inerrant? Did God say every word of God which proceedeth out of the mouth of God? Does God still say all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness? Does God say that? Did Timothy, when Paul told Timothy those words and they were written down, did Timothy have the originals in his hand? Can the Word of God be inspired beyond the originals? As much as it is a correct and accurate translation of the original, it is every bit as inspired as the originals. God hasn't changed His view on His Word. Every word of God is pure. We need to agree with God's view on pure thinking. Boy, it's easy for the mind to get corrupt, isn't it? Wow, there's a lot out there to try to corrupt the minds. This whole thing with China and TikTok, and their whole goal of let's get in and destroy the youth of America. We won't even have to fire a shot to do it. We'll get their minds so corrupted that they can't even function and operate as a society. And you know what? They ban that same content in their own country for their young people. Why? Because they know what it does to the mind. And God wants us to have pure thinking. We need to agree with God on His view of His church. By the way, it's His church. Well, I don't believe in religion. Jesus said, I will build my church. Is church God's plan? Absolutely. Does God say, and you look at it, and honestly, within 60, 70 years after Jesus died, was buried, and went back up to heaven, that people had to be reminded God's plan is for an assembly of God's people. And that assembly is, he rebukes them, says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. What's he say? It was already happening. There were already people saying, you know what? I don't need church to worship God. No, we don't have to have church to worship God, but we need church to obey God. And God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We need it. God knows that we need it. It's an amazing thing. You know, God designed it with the knowledge that we need encouraged in this book. The nation of Israel, they got to come together three times a year with their feasts. And it was not sufficient to keep them on track. When they would come to those feasts, they would take the Word of God, they would open it up, they would read from the Word of God. People would be reminded of those things. But pretty soon, they weren't even coming the three times a year. By the time Hezekiah was king, how many years had it been since the Passover had been celebrated? I don't know the number, but it's a long period of time. All this goes on in the Judges. Do you think they were keeping the feast on a regular basis? No. And when people abandon God's plan to assemble together, you think they're going to stay on track with God? No, because they're not walking with God. There's no fellowship. Because they're not obeying God. And so we need to be involved in God's plan and agree with God's view of His church. And as a church, we need to strive as a church to agree with God's view of God's church. Because there's a whole lot of churches that don't agree with God. And God forbid that we ever become a church that doesn't agree with God. What kind of church would that be? Churches flying the rainbow flag. That's not a church, I'm sorry. It may be an assembly, but it's not God's church. They don't even agree with God. Boy, we need to agree with God. And then we need to agree with God's view on forgiveness and restoration. So we get the sin idea, God's view on sin. But God also has a view on forgiveness and restoration. Romans 5:10 says this, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Do you know, God sent Jesus. Jesus died for us. He paid the price for our sin. But you know what? Now Jesus lives for us to make intercession for us before God. As much as I am glad Jesus died for us, I'm more glad that He lives for us. You know, I got saved when I was a little boy, but every day God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I don't know about you, but I need that often throughout the week. And I'm glad for Jesus Christ being alive to make intercession for me. And God forbid that I should ever just say, well, since Jesus died for me, I'm just going to continue in the sin. Oh, we have to be careful. But He says, I want you to be reconciled. God says, I'm continually inviting you. I want a fellowship with you. God came down to that Garden of Eden. It wasn't God that hid from Adam. It was Adam that was hiding from God. God's door is wide open. If you need to be saved, His door is open. If you need to be reconciled, His door is open. God's waiting for you. Why won't you come back to God? It's your choice. Ephesians 2:16 says, "And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." When Jesus died on that cross, the enmity that was between us and God was slain. Colossians 1:20-21 says this, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." God says, you were an enemy of Me by wicked works, and you can come to Me now because Jesus died for those wicked works. But you know what? From time to time in our life as Christians, we need to understand, I need to come to God. I need to repent of my wicked works. And God says, I want to be fellowshipping with you. See, we need God's viewpoint. Can God forgive any sin? Yes, except for one. If a person refuses to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, that is the unpardonable sin. When the Holy Spirit convicts and says, look, you need to be saved, and they say, I'm not going to be saved. I do not want to be saved. I'm rejecting Jesus Christ. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. That is the unpardonable sin if a person dies without Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." It is the goal of any Christian who is astray that they come back to God. Well, that person can never come back. What Bible are you reading? They can come back. They can repent. They don't have to wait for some gift from God to repent. God's telling them to repent right now. And if they're saved, Jesus Christ is their advocate right now, and he's ready, if they'll come to him and confess their sins, to forgive them. And that fellowship can be restored. And that can happen from any sin. Praise God. Let's close with one verse. Deuteronomy 32:4 says this: He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. See, for us to have a relationship with God and to know God, we need to know that God's viewpoint is just and right, that he is all truth, that in him is no iniquity. And if we're going to have fellowship with him the way that we ought to have fellowship with him, then we need to look at his book and say, okay, what does God hate? What does God love? If you were to look at a marriage relationship, say, well, my wife hates that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Not probably the best thing in the world. It's not really going to strengthen your relationship. Well, I know my husband hates that, but I'm going to do that anyway. No, we need to walk in agreement. And so we need to walk in agreement with God Almighty. Our thoughts need to be what he thinks. Our ways need to be like his ways. How do we find those things out? We have a Bible. The Bible tells us how we should think. Well, aren't you an independent thinker? No, I'm a Bible thinker. Now, I independently chose to believe the Bible. How's your relationship with God? Do you today, do you agree with God's viewpoints? Are you living in agreement with God's viewpoints? Maybe in your head you agree and you know. How about your ways? Your ways. Are your thoughts his thoughts? Are your ways his ways? They're high. They're exalted. They're uplifted. Do you agree with God? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray and we're going to have an invitation. Father, I ask that you would help us. God, help us not to be religious. God, help us to be in a relationship. God, I pray today as we have examined who you are and your viewpoints on certain things, God, that you would help throughout the Word of God to show us who you are, how you think, the things that you love, the things that you hate. And God, help us to willingly come into agreement with you, to surrender our will to your will, that we might have sweet fellowship with you, to understand that your ways are higher. And God, that we can agree with you, even if we don't quite understand it, we can still agree. God, help us to be submitted to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays this morning, if God's spoken to your heart and you have something to come and pray about today, I'd encourage you to come. Talk to the Lord. Do you agree with God? What is his viewpoint? What is your viewpoint? Are those viewpoints in agreement together? Can be awfully stubborn sometimes. May God help us. Say, I want to bring my life into God's view. I want to agree with God. Against God, we need to make it right. a relationship with God. That's what we're after. Not after do this, don't do it. Just know God. If we know God and walk with Him, will it change our life?
Absolutely.
It will. It will. And it's not going to be about these rules. It's not about that.
No.
It's about God.
Right.
I know Him. I want to agree with Him. And if we disagree, it's always my fault.
Yeah.
It's never His. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. God, strengthen us, encourage us, bring us back again tonight. God, help Your Word to mold our lives, and God, help us to be moldable. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.